Welcome back to Midnight at the Movies.
All right, I thought it'd be fun to, do something a little bit different for this episode. I've really been slacking on this podcast thing. So instead of reviewing every movie individually, since I've obviously failed to do that for a while, it's the end of the month, so I thought I would just do a monthly recap where I go through everything that I've watched this month, talk about it, and maybe this is what I'll do in the future. This may be kind of like the new format of the show. You know, it's a little bit easier to do it this way. And also, since I'm just doing this podcast by myself, I figure it might make the episodes a little more interesting, a little bit more worth your time, and a little bit longer. Because, you know, when I'm talking by myself about a singular movie, there's only so much I can talk about for so long. So the episodes, you know, end up not being that long. But if I do a whole month at a time, maybe I can kind of get more out of each episode. You know what I mean? So yeah, again, this may or may not be kind of the new format that I go with. But anyway, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome back to Midnight at the Movies. I am going to go through everything that I've watched during the month of March of 2023. And yeah, let's sit down and let's talk about it. So I started off the month by watching two documentaries on the same subject, and that is the Alec Murdaugh murders, the Alec Murdaugh case, or whatever you want to call it. If you're unfamiliar and you haven't been, you know, keeping up with what's been going on in the true crime space, I'm not really that big of a true crime guy myself. But the trial for Alec Murdaugh, who was accused of killing, murdering, shooting, whatever you want to call it, his own wife and son, Paul. And he's subsequently, as of the recording of this, been already convicted of the murders, and he's in prison now. Spoiler alert. But the case is very interesting because Alec Murdaugh is this guy. I'm not going to go into too much detail. You can watch these documentaries if you want more info than I'm going to be able to give you. But he's this guy in South Carolina, I believe. He's this rich lawyer guy. He comes from a family of lawyers, of prosecutors. Well, I don't think he was specifically a prosecutor. I don't really know how all that lawyer stuff works. But his family name really means something in that town. They are almost said to kind of run the town, you know, because they're so powerful. They almost have influence over even the police and all of that stuff, politics, blah, blah, blah. And they have for some time, you know, his grandpa, his great grandpa, and even his son is going into law, I believe. One of his sons that's still alive, his only son that's still alive. And man, you could do a whole podcast just on his son. His son's dealing with a bunch of shit too. But anyway, I started with the documentary that is on Netflix called Murdaugh Murders, A Southern Scandal. And that came out this year in 2023. It was a very good documentary, kind of showing the privilege that the whole family has. And the son, Paul, who was murdered, was in a boat crash. He was driving the boat intoxicated with a group of friends, and he crashed it, and this one girl unfortunately died, Mallory Beach. I think her name is Mallory. It's been a month since I've watched the documentaries, so please forgive me if I'm wrong on the name. So he was going through a legal battle. The dad, Alec Murdaugh, was also, apparently he's been smuggling money from clients in his own company for some time now. He also has an opiate addiction and has been, you know, spending money on that for a long time. And again, if you want more details on all of this, go watch the documentaries. They are both great. Which leads me to the second one called Low Country, The Murdaugh Dynasty, that's on HBO Max. That came out last year in 2022. They're both great. They both do a really good job of interviewing a lot of the people that were involved with the Murdaugh family, a lot of people that were involved in the boat crash, a lot of the people that were on the boat when it crashed. And they also do a good job of interviewing people, you know, from the town and that know a lot about the family and all the financial shit that was going on that subsequently possibly led to why Alec Murdaugh would be driven to murder his wife and son. I mean, there's no excuse for it. I don't know why the hell you would ever do that. But, he's a horrible person and deserves to be in jail. And those are two pretty good documentaries. It's hard to say if one is better than the other. I'd say they both do a great job of covering similar material, but also being very different from one another, you know? So take your pick, watch either one or both like I did, if this case interests you. I think it was a little more fun for me when I was watching them while the trial was going on because I didn't know the outcome of the trial yet because the trial hadn't ended, you know? But still, it's a really interesting watch, especially if you're into true crime and you know anything about this story and the murders that took place. Next, I watched Chris Rock's new comedy special, Selective Outrage, which just came out on Netflix. It was Netflix's first live comedy show. First live event, I think, in general. So that was really interesting. It was also the first time Chris Rock has really publicly address the whole slap at the Oscars last year thing that happened with Will Smith. And I have to say, I love the special. I thought the special was really great. And especially the parts about Will Smith, he brought up some really good points. Like, Will Smith, in my book, is kind of an asshole now. I'm sorry if you disagree with that. But, I mean, come on, man. You slap somebody at the Oscars on a world stage, and they didn't even do anything about it. And you later were able to accept the award for best actor in that King Richard movie. Like, and everyone's just applauding like nothing happened, you know? It's fucking ridiculous, man. Doesn't make any sense at all. And that whole Red Table Talk show that Jada Pinkett Smith has, where they basically go into all the details about their marriage, their life together, and how she cheated on him with one of their son's friends is just fucking crazy. Like, why would you air that shit out publicly? And Chris Rock does a lot of great comedy around pointing that out. And it's just overall a great special in general. I thought it was great. So, definitely gets my approval. Then, I watched Scream 6. Yeah, Scream 6 came out. I got to see it in the theater. And, I don't know, man. It was more fun than the last one. But I'm still just not completely sold on the cast. The new cast. But I also, you know, didn't care if they brought back the old cast. So I think I'm just kind of starting to lose interest in the Scream franchise, unfortunately, as a whole. I'm not going to spoil anything, but the reveal didn't really do much for me. Was it a little bit surprising for me? Because I was able to go in with no leaks, fortunately. It was a little surprising, I guess, but I also thought it was kind of stupid. And there were aspects to the reveal that's like, wait, how you didn't know this was connected to that person, blah, 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 different things like that, plot holes that you could say. And I was trying to think of what they could have done better. And I'm not a Hollywood writer, a script writer, so I don't really know if I can say anything better that they could have done, but I'm just, I don't know, man. I'm just kind of tired of this shit, man. I mean, some of the kills were really good, really gory. The bodega scene that you saw a little bit of in the trailer was great. The fire escape ladder thing that was also a little bit in the trailer, that was all right. Man, honestly, I kind of like the Scream forecast. Forecast. No, but the people, the young people that they brought in for Scream 4, I think I liked some of them better than these new people. I mean, Jenna Ortega's all right, you know. She's recently blown up with Wednesday and all that shit. But I don't know, man. Just that one Mindy chick who's always explaining the rules now, you know, the niece of Randy, who was the old rules guy. The rules don't make any fucking sense anymore. I'm going to be honest. It didn't make any sense. I think they should just ditch that altogether or do it better. Because it's like they're pulling shit out of their ass these days. It's like, okay, anything goes. That's not really a rule. Like, that's just saying anybody could be the killer. I don't know. The opening was great. I thought it was going to go in a different direction where they kind of follow the killer around, where you, like, know who they are from the jump, and then you get to see how they manipulate the core characters, you know, and something like that. And I think that would have been a better direction to go, but that's not what they do. It was, the intro was still great. The opening was still great. But, oh my God, I don't know. They'd have to do something completely different. And, you know, you might say, oh, well, they went to New York. They did something different. Well, yeah, but there was no Times Square. They tried to kind of do a Central Park thing, even though it obviously wasn't Central Park. The whole monument thing with all the Scream paraphernalia and Stab paraphernalia was kind of cool. But even then, I don't know. It didn't really feel like they were in New York for a lot of it. And I think they could have done more with it. Sorry for going on so long, but I don't know, man. I love the original three movies. Those are great. I really like four as well. And then five, I wasn't too crazy about. And then we got this one, which, like I said, I liked it better than five. I don't know why they just called it Scream. Why not just call it Scream 5? Obviously, they fixed that by calling this one Scream 6, thank God. But, yeah, whatever. I'm getting kind of tired of them. I think I'll just watch the first three, or even the first four, whenever I do my Scream marathon every other year or so during Halloween season. But I don't know if I'll be going back to this one or Scream 5 ever again. I don't know, maybe. But anyway, next on my list of things I watched, for the very first time, I watched The Game from 1997, directed by David Fincher, starring Douglas, what the fuck's his name? Michael Douglas. This was great. You know, everyone's always said that this is a great movie. I had a chance to buy it for like $5 on Blu-ray a while back, but I never popped it in and watched it. So one night I decided to actually do that, and I enjoyed it a lot. I'm not going to give any plot details away in case you haven't seen it, but it's definitely a good watch, and it was a lot of fun. It was very cool, and you can really tell that this movie influenced a lot of current movies that have come out since then. The plot is very, I assume, unique at the time. But now you see how so many movies have kind of copied it. Not necessarily in a bad way. And I can't really think of any off the top of my head. But I know that I've seen this idea done before. But man, this one was great. Great movie, The Game, David Fincher. Go check it out. Next up, I rewatched the movie Logan Lucky from 2017, directed by Steven Soderbergh. Yeah. Starring Adam Driver, Channing Tatum, Riley Keough. Seth MacFarlane is even in there. He plays like a really big douchebag. If you know Steven Soderbergh, he did the Ocean's movies. Ocean's 11, 12, and 13 at least. And this is kind of like those. If you like those movies, you'll love this. I feel like this movie, when it came out, was kind of not really appreciated. But I love it. I've watched it a few times now. It's another heist movie, but it's completely different than your average heist movie. And man, I feel like when it comes to heist movies, nobody does it better than Steven Soderbergh. The way that he reveals how the heist is going to go down, it's like you don't really know, but you kind of know. But he does a great job at pacing and revealing things at the right times. So you don't really, as the audience member, know exactly how everything's going to play out until the very end of the movie. And I love that. And there's nothing better than a clever heist movie where there's a lot of moving parts. Oh, and did I mention that Daniel Craig is in this damn movie? He plays a guy named Joe Bang. And if you think his accent is hilarious and great in the Knives Out movies, you gotta go watch this, because I feel like this is where he kind of like started to mess around with accents. I mean, I haven't really watched his entire filmography, so honestly, I have no clue. But Joe Bang, man. Joe Bang. Great, great motherfucking character. I love it. I love Daniel Craig. It's amazing, man. Go watch this damn movie if you have never seen it. It is definitely worth your time. If you've never seen the Ocean's movies, I watched those for the first time back to back a couple months ago. Those are amazing. Can't believe it took me that long to get to those movies too. But damn, Logan Lucky, great heist movie. Yeah. Then for the very first time, I watched the movie Roadhouse from 1989, starring Patrick Swayze. I had never seen this before. It's obviously one of those kind of classic 80s movies that has also been parodied a bunch. But it's great. It's great 80s fun. It's a great just, you know, like Patrick Swayze plays the bouncer guy at this place. He gets recruited to come clean up this bar club place, whatever it's called, the Double Deuce. I'll give you a Double Deuce. So he comes in and, you know, some of these other folks that are like affiliated with this rich guy, like runs the town, don't like it. And there's a bunch of good action scenes, a bunch of explosions and shit. And you know I ordered some buffalo wings and had a great time watching this one. It's great. One of those great classic movies. It's just kind of, you know, shut your brain off and have a little fun, you know? It's one of those movies. It's great. Roadhouse, check it out. But I'm sure you already have, but whatever. Then I decided to rewatch The Dark Knight Rises from 2012. Christopher Nolan's third film in his Batman series or whatever. And yeah, I'd only seen this one once before when it came out in the theater. I've seen The Dark Knight a million times. Such a great movie. And then we got The Dark Knight Rises. And like in any Christopher Nolan movie, it had some pretty big set pieces. It had some great moments, but overall, there was a lot of shit where I remember watching this the first time, and I was kind of confused. Like, there's a lot of shit that doesn't really make sense, a lot of plot holes, a lot of like, would that really go down like that moments, you know? So I decided to rewatch it and be like, you know, maybe I just need to rewatch it. But nope, a lot of that shit stands up. as far as not making sense. It's still confusing and just, you're just like, what the fuck's going on? Like, wait, what? They have all the cops in the city trapped underground. How the fuck did that happen? And then, how long, the biggest thing to me was like, wait, so the bomb, they have like 3 months or some shit to do something about it, but they don't do anything about it for that period of time because Batman has a broken back in some foreign country, but, and all the cops are underground. I don't know, man. It's just, nothing beats The Dark Knight. I'll leave it at that. So then I decided to start watching Curb Your Enthusiasm. Larry David, HBO Max, you can check it out. It's been on there forever. And, you know, they rebooted it a few years ago and started continuing the series. And so I'd watched a few episodes here and there throughout the years. And also when they rebooted it, I watched a couple. And I've always really liked it, but I've never really given it much attention. I never watched Seinfeld, so I never had much of like an appreciation for Larry David or anything that he'd really done. So, but I decided to sit down and start watching the series from season one. Because like I said, it's on HBO Max. And dude, I love this show so much more now. And I thought it was going to be one of those things where season one, you know, maybe they're trying to get their footing, so it may not be that great. So I went in expecting to kind of take it in with a grain of salt. But no, man, from season one, the show is great. All the crazy shit that Larry gets into, and it only gets better, but it starts off really great as well. The only thing I'll say is that right before they started the actual show, they did sort of like a 1 hour. It's almost like a 1 hour pilot, but it's not really a part of the show. Even though it's called Larry David, Curb Your Enthusiasm, it was probably kind of like a test run before the show actually came out. Not that great. So you can skip that. That came out in 99, a year before the actual show. But the show itself, the hijinks, every episode is like its own thing, its own storyline. But it also, you know, kind of builds into the characters and develops them a lot more throughout the show. You get to know them better. You know, you get to know who everyone is and how they operate together. I'm currently on season 5. And so far, I'd say season 4 was probably the strongest so far for me personally. Season 3 and 4 are really great. Season 5 is really great so far as well. I'm only a couple episodes in. But I've been just watching the hell out of this show, man. That's kind of why the rest of my list, I've only got a few more things on here. Because I was really deep into this show. It's such an easy watch, too. Every episode is 30 minutes. Minus the 1 hour finale for each season. But it's such a great and easy watch. You should definitely check it out, even if you only watch a couple of random episodes, which is what I had done before. It's a really great show. Go check it out. Next, I watched The Redeem Team. I think this was on Netflix, I believe. It is about the 2008... Yeah, 2008 Olympic Games, the U.S. basketball team versus the other basketball teams from around the world. I don't fucking know. I'm not a big expert on basketball, but I love basketball. It was great. It was great. It was a great documentary, inside look at what was going on behind the scenes building this team. Because America hadn't done that great in the Olympics before this, really. Well, I think they did pretty good 1 year, and then they went to shit for a few years. I don't know. You got to watch it. But the thing about this documentary is they had a ton of footage of Kobe Bryant, rest in peace, and him talking about his worth ethic. You know, they had LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and a bunch of people who were a part of that team talking about Kobe Bryant. It was almost like a Kobe Bryant tribute for a little bit, but that's okay. It was interesting as hell talking about Kobe's work ethic and how he really came in and changed the team's attitude, you know? They were all going out and partying, and Kobe instead would be in the gym, and how that slowly everyone started noticing that and started kind of picking up the slack and ended up creating a great basketball team. And it's a great documentary. If you're even a little bit interested in basketball, go watch it. It's great. Yeah. Again, that's the Redeem Team on Netflix, I believe. Yeah. Then I watched Megan from 2022 last year. It is not streaming for free, but me and my family rented it for $5.99. I don't know why my mom really wanted to watch this movie, so we watched it. I fell asleep, but I was look, I was tired. It was, I don't know. It's not like it was that bad of a movie. It was okay. You know, it kind of reminded me of Chucky a little bit. Kind of cliche. You can probably predict what's going to happen in the end, you know. They kind of set some stuff up in the beginning that you're like, oh, you know that's going to come to play later. And it does. But whatever. It was an okay movie. I don't know. The little girl kind of got on my nerves. She was kind of depressing. But then again, her fucking parents die in the beginning. So, the spoiler, it's not really a spoiler. I think they kind of show that in the trailer even, but I'd probably be pretty fucking depressed too if my parents died and I had to go live with my aunt who's always at work and doesn't give a shit about raising a child, and she's always at work. And she's kind of a bitch, to be honest. I mean, the way she treated the neighbor with that dog, it's like the first glimpse we get into her personality is her being a fucking bitch to her neighbor, like, keep that motherfucking dog on your side of the fence or I'm gonna kill it. It's like, oh my God, Jesus. You know, how about you just patch that hole in the fence from your side? Then the dog won't get out and attack you. Like, come on, this old lady didn't do nothing to you. Come on. I missed probably 30 minutes of it in the middle because I fell asleep. But I don't see a need to ever go rewatch it again, but it was all right. I don't know. Then the final thing that I watched this month of March 2023 is Poker Face. From 2022, last year, it is the directorial debut of none other than Russell Crowe, who also stars in the movie. And he plays this like rich-ass dude who gets a bunch of friends together to play a poker game where he basically, well, nah, I don't want to give anything away. But yeah, he gets some old friends together to play this high-stakes poker game at his very nice art installation of a house or art museum of a house, because he's got like a ton of fucking Rembrandt paintings and shit inside everywhere. He's like an art collector, I guess. And it was all right. Yeah, I kind of thought it'd be more about poker. It's a very short movie at like an hour and a half, so it's not that hard to watch. And I don't know. For a directorial debut, it was all right. But like I said, I kind of wanted a little more poker. That's kind of what I thought it was going to be about going in. But again, I didn't really know much about it going in. But I don't know. I've been wanting to watch it. And I found a good deal on eBay for the Blu-ray. I paid like, I don't know, $6 or something for it. Which is probably about the right asking price for this movie. It was just all right. But yeah, that's it. That's everything that I watched in March of 2023. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thank you for listening. And I hope you guys maybe found some recommendations in there. I hope you guys enjoyed my thoughts on it. And don't forget to leave a Leave a goddamn star rating on this shit, especially if you listen on Spotify. That'd be very appreciated. But I hope you guys have a great day. I'll see you guys in the next episode.